Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, January the 17th. This is the year 2023. And you know this is What's Happening. Ralph Pointer, What's Happening. And our program theme is 1917 all over again. European capitalist attack on Russia. Whose side are you on? If you know your history, you'll know what this is all about. If you don't know your history, you'll learn what this is all about. If you don't understand the history and the definition of capitalism, you will be and are a slave. If you don't know the concept of the anatomy of oppression, you can't really understand colonialism and imperialism. So because there are so many people on the call tonight, and because they were on time, and because we have some special guests, I'm going to cut to the chase. Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and as Sister Betty said, this is going to be an abbreviated introduction because this is a terrible thing that's happening. 1917, all over again, European capitalist attacks on Russia. That's the rich against the poor. The king and queens against the serfs. If you're not a king or a queen, then you're a serf. And there's a lot that comes in between the kings and queens and the serfs. And they call it the middle class. Well, my brothers and sisters, we know that those on the bottom have been in trouble a long time. And now the middle class is going to get it, because this is a war of attrition on the battlefield and economically. Now, one of the things that has saved to date the Europeans in this war of economic attrition is the weather. We're all aware of the heat wave or the water wave in California. Devastation. But are you aware that in New York, we're about to set a record in 10 days? If there is no snow in 10 days, by the 29th, it's a record that goes beyond when weather record was recorded. Now, I'm a New Yorker. I said, hey, this is pretty nice. We're almost at the same temperature in some days here as they are in Los Angeles. No snow. But it goes beyond that. The repercussions and ramifications go beyond just having a hiatus from digging your car out, finding a parking space with slush and snow, etc. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's bigger than that. Because of the warm weather in Europe, they are not in an economic crunch for energy, which the Russians had counted on. They were counting on it when Napoleon came and the weather beat him back, when Hitler came and the weather beat them back. And they were expecting the weather to beat back the Europeans, because the European countries were buying oil from Russia for energy. But they didn't need nearly as much energy as usual. That puts Russia in trouble economically, because the people don't need what they've got to sell. And so, without getting into the specifics, as I said, we're going to be brief. We're going to say, what does this mean for you and I? Well, there is a laundry list of negative reactions. To begin with, a reduction of already insufficient social spending in America. That's you and me, my brothers and sisters. We know about Social Security. We know it's no national health care programs. We know a lack of housing. They're going to cut all of that the moment there is a problem economically. They're going, for the middle class, they're going to increase the taxes. And the wealthy, of course, they're going to reduce their taxes. New York is looking at a loss of the union health plans, the union workers, the middle class. And what stands between them or us in the loss of our union health program? The city council. And you may say, whoa, the city council stands between us and the loss of medical plans. the continued disintegration of public schools. What stands between us and the disintegration of public schools? It's almost a joke. The Democratic Party. And the turn from the so-called middle, and I always said there never was a middle, to the right, in New York, we have Governor Hochul. And she's in bed with the Republicans, even though on Martin Luther King Day, she's going around to the churches supporting right-wing judges for the Supreme Court of the state of New York, based on minorities that she wants to include. And we're accustomed to the minorities they have included, right-wing black folk, and even further right than the NAACP that didn't support many of the struggles that were going on around the country in the past, talking about fiscal emergency managers, started in Benton Harbor. And when Reverend Pinckney said, we have to look out for that, because they were organizing 76 of them and training them, and he says they only needed one for Benton Harbor, so it's coming to you. Nobody looked up. Then it came to Flint, Michigan. We know what happened in Flint, Michigan, and they're pushing it. What do we have that stands between us and these draconian policies? We see that the national budget is going to be contested. And we know that the Democratic Party went right along with the Republican Party and voting for the funds for military spending. Now we know Ukraine came. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party went right along with each other voting for spending for the Ukraine struggle. This is the struggle of 1917 all over again. And who is going to pay for that? We, my brothers and sisters, you and I are going to pay for that. And the list goes on and on as to what they're going to do. So, my brothers and sisters, without going further into that, because I tell you, we are going to be dealing with these issues from now on. I think about a year ago, I had said on this very program, and it's all archived and you can listen to it again, and I'm going to go over and next week give you a list to go back and listen to what we said was coming down the pike. We are in great trouble economically. The homeless will continue to be homeless on a larger scale. And they will continue their policies. And because we have not developed our organizations to oppose what the Democratic Party is doing, because we have not taken time to control our unions, we have corporate unions, they are going to take us right down the drain. Corporate unions. We have, we call democracy. And there is no representation, no consideration of what the voters have said they wanted. We have let it get away from us. And this is a program of political prisoners. Mr. Biden pardoned, you know who he pardoned? Not one political prisoner. The states have no intention of pardoning our political prisoners. What are we looking at? We're looking at more of us becoming political prisoners and we do not have an institution to make demands. We, my brothers and sisters, are in great trouble. There's going to be a shortage of everything for the poor. The poor will become poorer. The rich will become richer. We see, Brother Mutulu, when we put it on a personal level, on a political level, we have not been able to raise funds for Brother Mutulu. We haven't been able to do anything for the people who did it for us. What's happening to our souls? How do we go about this every day without a reaction? And on that note, I'm going to stop because the theme got me started. 1917 all over again. Don't you know what that means? Well, we'll go to Professor Louis and have a little bit of poetry. As our dear sister Lynn says, a little bit of poetry. And as Professor Louis does, he gives us poetry, education, what entertainment. Professor Louis, your mic is open. Help us along here.
All right. Come in, brother. Make yourself welcome. Don't wander these cold streets alone. Sit down at the table. You might not have money. You might not have a job. You might not have a girlfriend, but come in, brother. Sit down at the table. Don't you have two arms, two legs, a mouth that needs to be fed, two eyes, two ears, a mouth that needs to talk to someone? Tell us your story. Sit down at the table and take it easy on yourself. The word is out. It's not all your fault. You got no money because there is no money for you. You got no job. Because there is no job for you. You will never be one of those smiling, happy, successful faces on TV. Those people are all actors anyways. Don't worry if the boss don't like you. The boss makes money by not liking you. Don't worry if the cops don't like you. The cops get paid not to like you. So take it easy on yourself. Sit down at the table. We know you don't trust nobody. How could it be different? When you don't trust yourself. We know you don't like nobody. How could it be different when you don't like yourself? We know you don't give a damn about nobody. How could it be different when you don't give a damn about your own self? So come in, brother. Sit down at the table. We know how bad you feel, just like all the rest of us, broke in 100 pieces that will not come together. How could it be different? The school says, be a good boy, else you're sunk. The fellas in the schoolyard say, be a bad boy, else you're a punk. The church says, be nice, don't bother the girls. The movies say, the man with a big macho gets everything in the world. The boss says, come early and always do your work. The other workers say, slow down, don't act like a jerk. The cops say, this is the law, go to jail if you don't obey. The judge says, if you got the money, then you could just walk away. The doctors say, if you use drugs, you will soon be through. But everyone says, if you don't taste a little, something's the matter with you. Jesus says, don't be violent and turn the other cheek. The heroes on TV kill 9 guys a week. So many lies that have gone on for so long. Being crazy is the same thing as not knowing right from wrong. So come in, brother. You will never solve the puzzle by yourself. Sit down at the table and be cool when you cross the doorway. We know you are mad. Bring your madness to the right place. If you have to steal some money, rob the bank. That's where the money is. If you have to steal some food, rob the supermarket. That's where the food is. If you have to break someone's head, break the president's. That's who is breaking your head. But be cool, please, when you step in here. It is written on the door, he who rips off his family shall have no family. So come in and act right. Sit down at the table. We know you had problems with your daddy. We all had problems with our daddy. Hey, your daddy had his own problems. We know you had problems with your mama. We all had problems with our mama. Hey, your mama had her own problems. We know you had problems with the women. We all had problems with the women. The women got their own goddamn problems. So come in, brother. Sit down at the table. Don't let yourself wander these hard streets. Don't sit alone and watch TV. Don't drink in bars with strangers where the only warmth between you comes from the glasses on the counter. Don't waste time and money on expensive toys, super-duper smartphones, super-sharp video games, super-slick TVs. All the programs are bullshit anyways. Don't. Please don't stick a needle in your arm full of sick white poison, taking out your own heart's blood and desire, leaving only a warm blanket to crawl under with no desire left except for more sick white poison to stick in your other arm. Don't roam these neon sidewalks like a wild animal searching for someone to get over on. Don't cut yourself off. Tough, whole, cold, hard, and so completely lost, standing on the corner, 100 different ways to go, and no street leading home, 100 different masks to hide behind, and never knowing which face is really yours. Please stop dreaming of that one big get-over that will make everyone love you, that one big dope deal or hit the lottery for $10 million showing up in your old neighborhood with a red Mercedes and $2,000 leather pants. The last thing you need is friends who like you because you got money. So come in, brother. Just don't beat us for anything. Family is those who act like family. Sit down at the table. You may be strung out, stretched out, tripped out, doped out, spaced out, psyched out, far out, failed out, flunked out, dropped out, passed out, laid out, fallen out, crashed out, knocked out, locked out, phased out, dumped out, pumped out, jumped out, put out, cursed out, bailed out, burnt out, worn out. No matter how worn out, we walk under the same sky. We sweat under the same dollar. Family is those who act like family. Come in, man. Sit down at the table.
Well, thank you for that, Professor Louis. That's what we need to do. But it wasn't so long ago that it was told that if you're going to be homeless, you should be homeless in California or Florida. Well, we see the fallacy in that. It is never a good place to be homeless on this planet. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have work to do. Listen to the poetry of Professor Louis. How do we get people to come in and join us and allow us to join them in this struggle for liberation, Sister Betty?
Yes. We need to figure out how to get everybody to come in and sit down at the table. And family is those who act like family. And so I'm going to introduce part of the family, Dr. Kelly Harris. As you know, Monday was the celebration that this country set aside, allegedly, for Dr. Martin Luther King. And we have someone here who is the professor at the Center for Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Kelly Harris, is going to give us his spin on the legacy or the realities of Dr. Martin Luther King. Pardon me. Dr. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Betty and Ralph, for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to join you. And thank Professor Louis for inviting me to sit at the table, and I will have my seat at the table.
Okay.
So I want to start with three quick little snippets. One is a poem, and one is a statement from Vincent Harding that Larry Ham, who's the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, shared last week. He shared this snippet from Vincent Harding, who wrote in the foreword to Dr. King's Where Do We Go From Here? And the last snippet I'm going to share is a quote from Dr. King from the 1963 March on Washington, quote that a lot of people don't read. Since we're on the 60th year anniversary of the March on Washington this August. So the first one is A Dead Man's Dream by Carl Wendell Hines, and I like to read it any time I talk about Dr. King. Now that he is safely dead, let us praise him, build monuments to his glory, sing hosannas to his name. Dead men make such convenient heroes, for they cannot rise to challenge the images that we might fashion from their lives. It is easier to build monuments than to build a better world. So now that he is safely dead, we, with ease consciousness, will teach our children that he was a good, great man, knowing that the cause for which he lived is still a cause, and the dream for which he died is still a dream, a dead man's dream. And I'm going to come back to that poem because it's so powerful. It is easy to build monuments than to build a better world. We continue to build monuments in Dr. King's image and his name, but not building a better world. The second piece I want to read is from Dr. King himself, from the March on Washington. And this is what he said in the March on Washington. You know, politicians from the left and the right like to quote Dr. King, March on Washington speech. They don't quote this part. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundation of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. And the last piece is from Vincent Harding. And all right, so this is Vincent Harding talking about a meeting. This is after the Watts Rebellion in 1965. And this is what he says. Speaking later at a staff retreat of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, King expressed a conviction that had long been a crucial part of what he saw when he paid attention to the nation's poorest people. He said, quote, "Something is wrong with the economic system of our nation. Something is wrong with capitalism," unquote. Always careful, perhaps to announce that he was not a Marxist in any sense of the word, King told the staff that he believed, quote, "There must be a better distribution of wealth, and maybe America must move toward a democratic socialism," unquote. So those three things I want us to ponder when we think about Dr. King and continue, you know, these celebrations happen every year about Dr. King. More and more people are talking about the radical King. But one of the things I want people to keep in mind is that radicalism really had always been a part of his method and his worldview. He tried to camouflage it in some of his speeches, but it was always there. In love letters to Coretta Scott King, who was an activist, who was followed by the FBI, spied on by the FBI before she met Dr. King, who had been at the progressive, who was a supporter of the Progressive Party in the 1950 presidential election. When Coretta and King wrote each other, matter of fact, Coretta had sent King a book from early 1900s about looking forward or looking ahead. I forget the title, but it was Looking Forward or Looking Back, something like that. But it was from a socialist, and she asked King to read it. And they both declared that they identified with socialism more than capitalism and that capitalism was not the best thing for our people. This was in 1950. They got married in 1952, I believe, right? So this is when they're dating each other. They're both declaring and talking about capitalism isn't the best thing for us. So that has always been a part of it. Dr. King always understood that the economic system, which Ralph so eloquently talked about in his opening statement, the economic system just doesn't work. Capitalism only works for certain people. It doesn't work for the majority of people. And King understood that his conscience did not allow him to support a system that did not benefit the majority of people, and not just the simple majority, overwhelming majority of people. So his conscience was calling him to challenge the economic system. His conscience was calling him, his conscience was pulling him to show you cannot fight racism and white supremacy if you're not fighting also the class structure, class system in this country, that which runs the world. You have to fight all of them, and you can't just fight one of them. And so his critique of capitalism is something that we really need to go back and look at. It's something that we really need to go back and look at really in all of his speeches. It's there. I want people to go back and look. Oftentimes people say, well, King became more radical in 1967 and 1968. I would argue that if you go back and look at his earlier speeches, you'll see it there. You will see it there. You see it. You saw it again. You saw it in the March on Washington. If you read the whole speech, it's there. It's not in the, if you just lean on the sound bites from Fox and CNN, you won't see it. But if you read the speech for yourself, you'll see it. And those are my comments and my thoughts on Dr. King.
Well, thank you for that. That is certainly a necessary commentary where people have to stop living their political life through sound bites of these hustlers who call themselves politicians. And so with that said, thank you, Dr. Kelly Harris, and we will look forward to having you on again to clarify what we should be looking for, what we must understand when we talk politics and think politics. Thanks again, Sister Betty.
All right. You know, we sort of deviated from our regular format. We usually go immediately after our poem of resistance and inspiration to our political prisoners. But to give Dr. King his credit, I'm more Malcolm X, a Black Panther person myself, but I acknowledge one of the things he said was he had no use for these moderate Negroes that are always selling us out, and he called them out, and he called out the alliance that they had with the white right wing in the South, as did Fannie Lou Hamer. So I acknowledge that about Dr. King, and I appreciate Dr. Kelly Harris's bringing forth some of his comments to make us understand just who Dr. King was. Those of you who remember Sister Colia Clark, she used to comment on the fact that he was not what the press portrayed him as. And so I want to now go back to our regular program. I want to thank the professor from the Center for Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. And hopefully he will not desert us. He'll be back again to help us stay on point with regard to the meaning of history. And again, we thank you.
Thank you.
New York City Jericho is in the house. We have our comrades, our former political prisoners are in the house. And we have returning, and I hope they're ready to give us an analysis and our marching orders, Sister Sophia Williams of the Spirit of Mandela, and I believe we have some people in the house for About the People. So without further ado, your mics are open. Sister Ann, I think you're working on a very, very special event that you we want to announce of a comrade who has transitioned, is not forgotten. We'll start with you. And the rest of you, your mics are open. Sister Ann?
Okay. That special event for that special person. That special person is Don Francisco Vergara Valentin, known affectionately to almost everybody as Frankie. And he passed on August 25th, one day after his birthday, after fighting cancer the same way he fought U.S. imperialism. Unfortunately, cancer won. But he's still with us in spirit. As long as we remember him, he will always be here. And so we are having an event, a celebration of Frankie's life at Holy Rood Church on Saturday, February 4th from 3 to 6 p.m. And we would encourage everybody to come. And we've been working hard on that. We'll have some video tributes. We'll have some slideshows of pictures of Frankie with all the work that he did over the years, the work he did in Puerto Rico, the work he did for Cuba, the work he did for Vietnam, the work he did for folk in Latin America, all the hard work he did for the Puerto Rican political prisoners, for the Cuban Five, and also for all U.S. held political prisoners as the co-chair of the National Jericho Movement. So I really encourage people to come. You can see it on our website. Go to jerichony.org. Also going to post it again on the jerichomovement.com, which is a free event. You will get a beautiful journal that has many tributes to Frankie in it. And it would be great for people to come out in celebration of Frankie's life. We will, of course, encourage you to wear masks and social distance as much as possible. So that'll be happening. And yes, people, please do turn out for Frankie. He certainly dedicated his entire life to fighting imperialism and freeing political prisoners. And I was happy to hear that brother talk about Martin, because, you know, they want to sanitize Martin for us and pretend that he wasn't who he really was. But he clearly has said many times that there's something is wrong with capitalism. I'm looking at one of his quotes right now. It says, you can't talk about solving the economic problem of the Negro without talking about billions of dollars. You can't talk about ending the slums without first saying profit must be taken out of slums. You're really tampering and getting on dangerous ground because you are messing with folk then. You are messing with captains of industry. Now, this means we are treading in difficult water, because it really means that we are saying something is wrong with capitalism.
You know, well,
Martin,
thank you.
Theologists, so, you know, we have liberation theologists who are parts of the guerrilla movements in Latin America, you know, so we respect that.
All right. We want to, and you can hang in there in case you want to give us an update on Matulu. But at point, Sophia Williams, thank you for joining us. I believe your mic is open.
Yes, yes. Hi, good night. Good night, everyone. It's been a pleasure listening to the program tonight and hearing the information and the kind of, as you said, deviation that was well needed. And again, we appreciate what your show does each and every week. So yes, a brief update about the People film premiere last week, this past Saturday. As people may have remembered, I had the great pleasure to be invited on to the show last week, Tuesday, to announce the premiere. We had the premiere, and it was very, very successful. We had people were there as well as in the virtual space on the About the People YouTube page and also Black Power Media's YouTube page. And so we had both areas going for people to view. I felt that people were genuinely open and moved by the film, and just hearing Brother Jalil, his teachings and his, you know, his knowledge. He's so authentic and just deep in what he says, and to have him in a film given more of that was incredible. So people appreciated that. Then we had the other part where we were able to not just show the film screening for the YouTube folks and also in person, but we had a Zoom section to combine the live audience with the virtual audience, and that was just as much spirited, and Brother Jalil was able to speak with us and go further into answering questions. And we also had a speech or a recording by Brother Kwame Shakur, who is incarcerated at the moment and also was featured in the film. So we encourage folks to continue to support About the People, which is an organizing, a film aspect broadcast, audio broadcast aspect of the Spirit of Mandela. organization. So we encourage people to continue to support what we do, but more so also continue to support the Spirit of Mandela's initiatives and the People's Senate that they're also building out and working on. And people can definitely find us on Instagram at ATP, About the People. They can find us, they can subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is ATP, About the People. And definitely feel free to email us at aboutthepeople1312@gmail.com to be in touch, to get on board, or just to share with us any feedback and questions. So yeah, I think that's it for now. And again, we thank you all for tuning in. Continue to subscribe to the channel, and more so continue to support the larger efforts of freeing each other and freeing ourselves.
Well, thank you for that. Very important. Free each other and free ourselves. Sister Betty.
Well, we all know that according to our comrade and warrior, Jaleel, we are our own liberator, but we do it through political acts. And if you attended this event this past Saturday, that was a political act. I want to invite Brother Jan and Brother Kazi, your mics are open if you want to make comments. Please feel free before we move on.
Yes, good evening. I'm not going to take up any time this evening. I'm going to let us keep on going in the spirit and with the information and wisdom that's being put forth. Just as always saying, you got to keep working to free them all.
Right.
That's the...
All right. Brother Kazi, do you want to throw a few words of wisdom at it?
Oh, just that I'm really in the middle of something. I'm listening in and out tonight. I'm in the middle
All right.
of something, but catching the good wisdom, catching the good
we
wisdom,
appreciate-
and go ahead.
We appreciate your
move.
Solidarity, no matter what you're doing.
On a move to free them all.
All
That's
right.
See you,
Thank
you. See you at Frankie's.
Once again, to acknowledge the role of Martin Luther King and the fact that Monday was the day the establishment set aside to acknowledge his protest, and it was a protest. We have with us again tonight comrade Nzinga, political prisoner advocate, poet, political activist for African Gays Matter, a supporter of Charles Barron, participant in the Operation Power movement in Brooklyn. Comrade Nzinga, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. It's always a pleasure, Brother Poynter, Sister Davis. It's always a pleasure hearing all of the speakers that spoke before me. I feel honored to be here every time. Thank you. So I'm going to do a poem tonight titled Continue to Scream, with quotes from Dr. King's 1967 speech that he gave at the National Conference of New Politics in Chicago, where he spoke about the three evils, war, racism, and poverty. We must continue to dream, even though our hopes are being blasted and our dreams are being shattered, because we live in a nation that spends billions on war but refuses to feed its poor. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a nation built on the foundation of racism and exploit those whose backs this country was built on. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a nation whose promises are nothing more than lies painted with the brush of deceit. We must continue to dream, even though unemployment rages at disparate levels in black communities. Yet, the government pushes programs for anti-Semitism rather than programs for anti-poverty. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a nation who uses our tax dollars to build more penal institutions than educational institutions, and one whose prison industrial complex incarcerates more black men and women at rates higher than anywhere in the world. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a city that is more concerned with rat abatement than it is about homeless abatement. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a nation where the very party the people put in office backstabs them with the same knife that cuts the social programs that are the very breath of their community. We must continue to dream, even though we live in a nation that persistently uses capitalism and colonialism as a means to perpetually exploit and oppress black people whose ancestors were brought here in chains and who were emancipated in 1863 without being given land to cultivate or bread to eat and told to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. A nation who advocate for socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. A nation who cries out against handouts of welfare to the poor, but generously approves loans to bail out the rich. We must continue to dream because we too, like Dr. King and others like him, who after years of toil, began to see the writing on the wall that our nation is deceptive and speaks with a forked tongue. But we must continue in the vein of the words, ain't gonna let nobody surround, gonna let no capitalism or colonialism keep us down. Let nobody shatter our dreams. We're going to continue to fight until we receive our freedom, justice, and equality. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for that poem because it is the dream and it is the solution, the action that comes from our dreams. Socialism. Overthrow capitalism. That's the dream we must make real. Thank you so much for that, Sister Zinga. Sister Betty.
Although the statistics for black workers in these unions is going down instead of up, the percentage of licensed black professionals in this country is going down instead of up. And many of the things that Dr. King tried to expose and address have not improved. They've gotten worse. And the infant mortality rate has not improved. So wherever the indicators are for genocide, that's where you'll find us. And those of you who still want to kiss the ground that you walk on in this part of the world, I think you need to do yourself. Without further ado, we have Brother Tom. He's been experiencing some difficulties. They happen. We might have to cut it short. But Brother Tom, thank you for returning. Your mic is open.
Tom, your mic is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to remind everyone not to use talcum powder. It can cause cancer, and as far as the true cost of war, which is a feature of capitalism, the worst was the Civil War, in which there were 620,000 soldiers that were killed. World War II, it was 405,000. These figures come from Veterans for Peace, which I belong to. In World War II, over 36 million non-military were lost their lives, and I just want to say that capitalism is just take our healthcare system, for example, for seniors. Three of the most common problems that seniors have, that is hearing problems, eye problems, and dental problems, are not covered by our health care program. And not so, by the way, in Europe. The only way to solve this problem is that we have to we have to get rid of capitalism. All you see on TV is trying to get people to buy automobiles, which is a major polluter, and people don't have there's a great deal of unemployment. People don't have money to buy automobiles. And then you have this toxic food that's advertised, these bacon cheeseburgers, just horrible stuff. And so what we really need is people to realize that we have to get rid of capitalism, and we have to have a socialism based upon the needs of the population. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Tom, for that. Sorry for the gap. 7845, your mic is open. And thank you, Tom.
Good evening, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph. I'd like to share with the audience tonight an excerpt from book number 3, Murder Incorporated, Empire Genocide, Manifest Destiny, by Mumia Abu-Jamal and Stephen Victoria. Chapter 1, Tribune of the People or Servant to Power. In 1880, John Swinton, former head of the New York Times editorial staff, often referred to as the dean of his profession, spoke to a gathering of fellow journalists in New York City regarding their collective profession. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of Mammon, and to sell this country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this, toasting an independent press? A central myth of America's founding is that of a protected free press guaranteed by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. The American media has long been thought of as the envy of the world, the jewel in the crown of the American exception. Without question, the media is an organ of tremendous importance in any modern society, for it is the medium through which the population perceives itself, protects itself, and delineates its collective narrative. It is also the machinery through which a society lies to itself and to others by projecting a face that is as far from the truth as the moon is from the earth. We are constantly informed that the media constitutes an array of institutions that endows the public with reliable information, accurate analysis, and valuable, well-thought-out commentary. And if there is bias and subjectivity, it is within the bounds of acceptability with respect to the basic premise of truth-telling, said the reportage of facts. Of course, if this is so, it is usually the media itself that says so, a media that is also a medium, a body existing between the subjects of stories and those who consume those stories. Such a relationship demands trust, but when is that trust deserved? The American media, in particular, the mainstream corporate media, has evolved into a now complete vast wasteland of information, scandal, and beyond all, government-generated agitation designed to shelter the status quo, promote perpetual war, and of course protect the empire's wealth. The sad state of affairs blankets the print press as well as broadcast and cable television, albeit the glimmer of hope springing up across a wider, more free internet. Man on the street laments, "Oh, if only we could summon back the good old days." Unfortunately, there were no good old days, only days that weren't no so goddamn awful and pathetic. Our poor man on the street conjures fading memories of Uncle Walter and Chet Huntley through sepia-toned glasses, magical lenses that have an exchange the myth for reality. But the history of the American generalism resembles a protection racket, one of the positions the so-called Fourth Estate as the Madison Avenue PR firm representing American capital and American exceptionalism. So as we roll through the 21st century, journalist Amy Goodman asked the painful but necessary rhetorical question about the condition of the omnipresent corporate mainstream media. You have to ask, if this was state media, how would it be any different? And I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you for that. That's well spoken. And we must remember when there was an alternative media of people of color, of freed captives in America. There were many of them, Cleveland Plain Dealer, etc. We found that one of our brethren, Booker T. Washington, went around buying up that media at exploded prices and then closing them. And so for a long time, we have been without the truth in media, and that has been a struggle in America, and we hope on this program and on WBA 0.5 from 8 to 9 Wednesday, we hope with these programs we will bring a little bit of truth, voices that are not heard by mass media, and we hope to get it there. Sister Betty.
All right. Without further ado, we seem to be having a little bit of problem with our time frame here. I heard an announcement. I don't know what this is about, but I'm trying to fix it. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Brother Joel. Your mic is open. Brother Joel, your mic is open.
Yes. Can people hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Well, it's been a great discussion, and it's again one of the only forums in going on in this country where reality is discussed to this degree of depth, and where prior speaker just pointed out, it's a place where we're subjected to one of the most monstrous means of perpetuating tyranny, economic, political, of course, racial, and gender, and so on. The capitalist system, and I think in taking off from the way that ended, what we have today is a very sophisticated ministry of propaganda, as they have in certain countries where the media is openly, or at least there's a department in the government that gives out the official line. And in this country, there's nothing so much like that as the media in the United States, except that it's a privatized media. Nominally, on the surface, it's privatized, but actually it's a government ministry of propaganda, which has several branches and several points of outlook, but all of them converging on a defense, promotion of the capitalist system, and all of the information about all of its features that go into it, like people are summoned to a war to kill and to die by the hundreds of thousands or by the millions in countries that maybe they never heard of before. Maybe they couldn't find it on a map. But all of a sudden, there's this tremendous hysteria that's built up to and people get convinced that this is the right thing, this is what has to be done. And in fact, it's exactly the opposite. And it's a way in which for every point of view within the U.S., largely based on the material circumstances of the people, there's a sales team for every issue. So that if you have to sell a war from a liberal point of view, then we're going to go to war to stop fascism all over the world. But what they don't tell you is that we're going to war to impose fascism or all over the world. On another level, they have a right-wing press that says that they have to prevent revolution all over the world. And so whatever point of view you have, if money can be made and the government and the ruling class finds it desirable, it becomes an opportunity for somebody to make a lot of money taking that point of view. And they even have a large degree of not a very large degree, but on most issues, there's also an opposition, which seems to it reinforces the illusion of democracy, but it's designed to lead the people that agree with the opposition to defeat. So you have every point of view gets expressed, but with the same seemingly conflicting aims, but with the same result of brainwashing people and enslaving people's minds to the imperialist control. And, of course, it's a major problem. There is a slight opening, and it was a greater opening a few years ago by using the Internet, where finally anyone with a few hundred dollars could start a website and put whatever you want on it. But now, it's another medium that's been monopolized and commercialized so that the independent voices are either drowned out or in a growing number of cases absolutely censored or I think it's called the shadow censored also, where somebody is allowed to write something on the internet, but the Google and search indexes are that bury it as like the 5,000th website. If you persist, you may be able to turn it up. I remember a few years ago, there used to be a lot of different websites on the JFK assassination, for example, and they would have different individual or small group investigations of what really happened. One of the major things that have been lied about, and in the current term of usage, the whole phrase of conspiracy theory was born, meaning that the official line was wrong, that there was no lone assassin, that it came from inside the government, that Oswald was framed and killed so that there wouldn't be a trial that could bring up the information. His killer was then killed so that he wouldn't be able to talk about it. That was Jack Ruby. And then a very well-known journalist, Dorothy Kilgallen, was killed so that because she had interviewed Jack Ruby and was promising to bring out more information through that channel. And when you point these, that's what became at first known, well, it's a conspiracy theory, and then that became largely, the meaning of that label was turned around. So when people say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, they mean don't go near it, don't touch it, it's not true. There are no conspiracies at all in running this government or any government. Everything is just a bunch of individuals that happen to do whatever they're doing, and the media is trying to ferret out what happened, a total lie. But if you go on the internet today, you'll see a lot of articles, JFK assassination conspiracy theory, meaning in a dismissive tone, and then the word debunked. On website after website, showing the degree of control that exists when the majority of people in this country don't believe the official line. And yet that's the way even the internet, which is a little bit more problematic to manipulate, is right now totally under this monopolistic spell of the ruling class media. And it makes it difficult for people to have the information that we need in order to plan to make a dent in and ultimately overthrow the system. But many people, despite the twisting and lying effects of this really criminal media, because they are they are an ongoing conspiracy that's the most important justifier of the greatest crimes, all for the enrichment of the monopolistic banking and corporate class.
Joel, we're going to have to interrupt you here. We've got some technical difficulties. It's still taping, but we want to make sure we get another speaker in. So we're going to pick up where
you left off,
and I apologize for this technical difficulty. There's something wrong with the taping. Part of our program got cut off, but I want to be sure we get Brother Dennison, if you don't mind, and I apologize to you for this technical difficulty. We can hear each other, but we want to make – they always extend it a little bit when this happens. So we want to, at this point, go to Brother Dennis, and we will pick up
where
we left next week, if you don't mind. I apologize for this interruption. We want to go to Brother Dennis, and we thank him for his patience. Your mic is
Uhuru.
Open.
Uhuru, uhuru. Very powerful program tonight. Oh, yes. Even if I don't get recorded, I think that those in listening shot, we are all learning. We are all gaining through what we learn from each other. I want to, first of all, thank you, Sister Betty, for sending out that article on the food processes that we're intaking, repackaged foods, poisonous foods, even given to the inmates in prisons. Nothing but poison, pure poison. I want to thank you for sending that article out. Secondly, I would like to say, Ralph, yes, it's 1917 all over again. 1917 all over again. Here it is, Ukraine. Yes.
I want to give Sister Ann credit because she's been flagging the poisonous food in the prison death camps for quite some time. So I just want to give her credit for that. Go on.
Yeah, that article is profound. If you've not read it, Sister Betty needs to get it to you and read it so you can tell about it and share it. Ukrainian forces get crash course on Javelin missiles from the United States volunteers. 1917 all over again. Remember, it was just yesterday that Zelensky's wife was in the Davos, right, begging for more money from the European nations to further this issue of a war, whereas the Wagner group has now come in and, according to the media, destroyed another housing complex, killing off 49 Ukrainians and injuring numerous others, gaining the ground that was taken back by Zelensky, and now Russia's coming back in to take that again. So let me go further here. So now, this segues into an article that I would like to read some part of. This is from the U.S. proxy war. This is from the Burning Spear newspaper. This is from S.G. Luazi, Secretary General of the African People's Socialist Party in the United Kingdom, England. The United States proxy war in Ukraine gives signs of the emergence of a new world. Chairman Omar Yeshitela, the African People's Socialist Party, APSP, affirmed that the objectives of the United States proxy war in Ukraine is to defend colonialism as the foundation of the world's economic order, led by the United States. We are the only ones to say it like this. The traditional colonial Western power dominated Russia before the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. The goal of the United States led colonial powers today are to reestablish control over Russia and its vast mineral and energetic resources. The global colonial mode of production is experiencing possibly its most severe crisis since it came into existence because of the inability of white power to dominate the loot, to dominate and loot. The colonized world as they used to do decades ago. Russia's success is one source of the crisis experienced by the colonial capitalist system today. China's success is another. That is why this war in Ukraine cannot be understood through bourgeoisie news. The propaganda war permeates and dominates all bourgeoisie media outlets, while censorship of social media continues to grow. Russia and Iranian media have been shut down from mainstream news in most of the NATO countries. You notice how that works. Russia's defensive war. Russia's government is fighting to stop the ongoing U.S. proxy war that took shape with the maiden coup in 2014 that toppled the Ukrainian government and replaced it with the United States puppet leadership that included Ukrainian Nazis, Russophobes, and anti-communists. It is a defensive war for Russia, evidenced by the fact that the 2021 United States-NATO combined military budget of $1.092 million surpasses the 2021 Russian military budget of $45.8 billion. These figures don't support the narrative of Russia's threat to Europe. Rather, the opposite. The United States-led NATO is a threat to Russia. The Maidan coup was an accelerator of the United States' objective to weaponize Ukraine against Russia. Now, mind you, that was a manipulation by the U.S. They're using Ukraine as the puppet to manipulate Russia. For 8 years, the United States and its NATO allies supplied weapons and trained Ukrainian soldiers, as they're about to do right now, saying that they're using volunteers. But it's actually the United States military training the Ukrainian troops in Texas to use these javelin warheads to fight against tanks from Russia. To be NATO soldiers, with a military budget of $4.35 billion, Ukraine has had no means to sustain a war aggression in the Donbas region since 2014. This war is entirely funded by the United States and European colonial governments. And Germany suffers economic loss with Russian-Ukraine war. As you heard that today, that right now the fuel that is being sent to Germany, the claim is that Russia is having to sell it cheaper now. I heard that today. That may or may not be. That may be a media ploy. The white colonial bourgeoisie ruling class and its media are quick to say that the high cost of living is due to the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. So this invasion by Ukraine by Russia is causing us, according to the media, to have high costs and costs that are so high that we can't afford basically to live. This lie is repeated every day. Ukraine is run by U.S. and NATO generals. Zelensky is a puppet of the United States. The high cost of living is a fact, but it doesn't explain or tell the truth. The United States and Europe have spent around $100 billion to help Ukraine fight the war, and the cost of living has been rising well before the start of it. There is a relationship between the high military budgets of NATO, NATO's countries, and the high cost of living. Germany has announced a special military budget of $112 billion to defend its interests. This is the sharpest increase from Germany since the end of the Second Imperialist World War. It is not clear how this budget increase will defend Germany against the economic consequences of U.S. proxy war in Ukraine. The world supply of goods has been impacted by the unprecedented countries rounds of sanctions by Europe and U.S. To cripple the Russian economy, and by Russia's own sanctions to defend itself against NATO's predatory states. For example, Germany must replace 50% of the gas imported cheaply from Russia by other sources. The liquefied natural gas, LNG, from the United States is one source, although at a higher price. Secondly, they have to replace oil and coal from Russia, too, probably at greater cost. The cost of living can only increase under these circumstances. Anadolu Agency, a Turkish news company, predicts that Germany will lose over $109 billion this year alone due to the Russian-Ukraine war. The same article states that Germany's import bill will be $48.7 billion higher than the estimate made in 2021. Colonial rule collapsing. We are living in an uneasy equilibrium. The balance of power between old and new dominating nations. We can see the emergence of new institutions indicative of a new world. BRICS, as it's called, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The Eurasian Economic Union, EAEU, Shanghai Corporation Organization, SCO, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIB, etc. Pepe Escobar. Yes.
We feel that we have been cut off. This message does not seem to be going out. And so what we will do is pick up next week with this message, and hopefully that people can hear that. This is an awful lot of information that Joel was giving us. It's an awful lot of information that you're giving us, but it doesn't seem to be going out.
It clicked off about 10 minutes ago. We usually get
they like clicking us. We just didn't click.
We usually get a 5 to 10 minute extension, even if it does click off. But we extended the time. So it could be political. It could be because we switched computers. I'm not sure yet. But
Your name been tampering with my phone as of today. So I believe it's political. We're all involved. We understand.
Okay. Well, thank everybody for being on this evening. It was a very special broadcast, especially with regards to the dedication to Martin Luther King, being able to see him not as the
corporate media projects him. And we will look to go back to where Joel was giving us information and continue with Piero. Thanks again, my brothers and sisters. We will work on the technical issues here, and hopefully we will have a solid program next week. Look forward to hearing you. And tomorrow night from 8 to 9, tune in to WBAI 99.5 on your radio. And if you cannot get it on your radio, dial in to 212-209-2877 and call in and listen to the message we will be trying to bring to you. Thanks again.
Tomorrow night on WBAI, we will be dealing with reparations. But next week, Wednesday, we have a police officer that exposed the murder of black citizens in Louisiana. He refused to uphold the solid blue line. He will be our guest speaker next week on WBAI, and we hope that you will join us. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom.